How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Amen. Okay, grab your notes. We're ready to go. Okay, let's see. The power of being a thanksgiver. That's our subject today. And let's just take a look at one verse right off the bat here. Let the peace of God rule, act as the umpire in your heart, which you are called into one body. Now look at this. And this addendum, and be thankful. This is a command of the Bible. And it's kind of interesting because you might say, well, how can I all of a sudden become a thanksgiver just because somebody tells me I ought to? That's the question. That's a worthy question. And yet that is the expectation of the Lord. In fact, whenever God commands us to do something or be something, you can count on it that if you do it or become what He says, that there will be power and victory in the doing. In other words, He never gives us an instruction that takes away our energy, takes away our life. He only gives us instructions that tend towards life and prosperity. He, you know, if He was trying to get us, wipe us out, He'd have done that a long time ago. He's in the blessing business. And so when God gives us an instruction to be thankful, you can count on it that there is power in becoming a thanksgiver. And so we're going to see exactly how that happens in just a moment. But the opposite to a thanksgiver is a murmur. That's the opposite. A murmur. The scripture is used, the word murmur is used over 35 times in the scripture. And it is the opposite. In fact, the context wherever this murmuring thing appears is not very nice. It's a grumbler. He's the opposite to a thanksgiver. And so let's look at some of the characteristics of a murmurer first. Number one, ultimately, all murmuring is really against God. People thought they were, the children of Israel thought they were murmuring against Moses. But whenever you murmur against the leader, you're murmuring against God's choice and against God. And so, look at this scripture. The Lord hears your murmurings, which ye murmur, your grumbling, your complaining against Him. What are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but they are against the Lord. Repeatedly in the book of Exodus, they were complaining about Moses. Then they complained and murmured about Aaron. Then they murmured about the food that God was supplying. And then so God sends them flesh in the night and bread in the morning, and they still murmured. And it was one source of murmuring after another. But whenever we murmur about our food, the supply that we have, whenever we murmur against an authority that's properly placed in our life, we are really murmuring against God for what He has allowed to occur. Then God shows us that murmurers always get whatever it is they murmur about. And so it comes true. And so God says, in fact, it's Moses, or actually God saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? And God says, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. And so, Moses, this is what I want you to say to them. Here's what I want you to say. As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. So you've been murmuring to me. All right, I'm going to let the stuff you've been complaining about come true to you. Because you will not be thankful, so the things you murmur about are going to come back to haunt you and to damage you. Look at this, your carcass, your body shall fall in the wilderness. All that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, look at this, from the age of 20 years old and all upward, those that have murmured from the age of 20 and up are not going to go into the promised land. You're going to die in the wilderness. The consequences of being a murmurer are severe. And then we learn that it's a contagious thing that must be stopped. And so the men which Moses sent, remember this, sent the 12 spies, and they returned. And look at what the 10 did. 10 of them who returned made all the congregation to murmur. Murmuring is contagious. It spreads. And so when the 10 spies came back, and we're going to see in a moment the difference between the 2 and the 10. 2 came back, Joshua and Caleb, thanksgiving. They were thanksgivers. The other 10 were murmurers. And when they came back, they spread it through the whole congregation. And these men brought the evil report upon the land. And look at, they brought up a slander upon the land. Because murmurers cannot see straight. Once you get it, murmurer is a disposition, the opposite to a thanksgiver, and he does not have the ability to look at the same information that a thanksgiver looks at and come up with the same conclusion as a thanksgiver. We're going to see in a moment that one of the powers of being a thanksgiver is the ability to see clearly, to have vision. A murmurer cannot see clearly because everything he looks at through this disposition of grumbling. You can't convince him it's good because he sees through his disposition of a murmurer. That's why you want to be really careful to become a thanksgiver. It's a contagious thing, and they had to die because of it. And then murmuring prevents obedience. They murmured in their tents. Because of the murmuring, they would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Murmurers lack the ability to receive the instructions from the Lord. I'm pumping you out some sentences. Every one of them is so pregnant with meaning. I don't want to slow down because I want to get to the food. But and I want to get to the Thanksgiving time where you all have expression. They can hear the words of God, but it doesn't sink in. Because the grumbling, murmuring, anti-thankful disposition disables them from receiving and hearkening to the words of the Lord. And dear friends, let me tell you something. If I could put triple exclamation marks after that sentence, I would. And I would underline it. And I would put it in capital letters. And I would circle it. Because it's one of the detriments of being a murmurer is the inability, even though you hear the academics of Scripture, you can't incorporate them into one's life because of this disposition. And then number 5, it's forbidden by the Lord Jesus. Now, in the life of Jesus, there was a whole lot of murmuring. You find, when you trace the word murmur in the Bible, a lot of it's in Exodus with Moses and it's scattered in Isaiah and a bit in Jeremiah and a few other spots. But the next bulk of the verses occurred during the life of Jesus. The Pharisees murmured against him. The Jews murmured against him. Even the disciples started to murmur. His own disciples started to murmur. And so in the New Testament context, Jesus made it sure And he said unto them, don't murmur among yourselves. Now remember, murmuring is contagious. Listen to me, fathers, for a moment. If you go home from church and you murmur about the teaching or the word of God or the instruction or the music, or you murmur, let me tell you what happens in your family. You spread a murmuring disposition. On the other hand, if you are thankful, and let's suppose, we're going to see this in a few moments, but let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, a service was only a 5. If you go home with thanksgiving about the 5 out of the 10 that you got, you will train your family to be a Thanksgiving family. But if it didn't meet your expectations, then you murmur about it. You spread this, and pretty soon children become murmurs. They learn it from their parents. Wives, the same way. Husbands, wives. So, watch this now. A spirit of murmuring can come into a marriage. And you grumble about everything. She does or he does. And you know what? It will not only contaminate the children, but ultimately a murmur gets locked into an incurable context that's not reversible until perhaps on a Thanksgiving day when he learns to convert to becoming a thanksgiver instead of a murmur. The damage that occurs, spreading. And the worst part about a murmurer is that he believes his murmurings. He is justifying, or she is justifying all the grumbling and all the complaints, and it's always pointed finger, and have no idea that the reason they see that way is because of this murmuring predisposition. Can somebody say yes? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm really getting on it fast this morning, and I'm trying not to spend a lot of time at it, but I certainly want you to catch it. So Jesus comes along, and he forbids it. Don't do it among yourselves. Murmuring is such a severe issue in the Bible that it is listed with idolatry, fornication, and tempting of Christ. Let's look at these scriptures really briefly. I just want you to understand this is no insignificant issue. Don't be idolaters. There's the first verse. As people sat down to eat, rose up to play. That's all they did. Then secondly, and let's not commit fornication as some of did and fell. And look at, in one day, 23,000. Out of the million Hebrews committed fornication in one day. 23,000. This is an abomination. And yet, when you go to this context, in spite of the fornication, God didn't destroy them because of the fornication, but because of the murmuring. Look at the next verse. So we have idolatry, and let us not tempt Christ. In the same way that they tried to tempt Moses. That's a terrible thing to do. Who tempted Christ in the New Testament? Satan. Don't go there. These are abominations. And then look at this. And neither murmur ye as some of them, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. Don't murmur. It goes with idolatry, fornication, and the temptation of Christ. And then lastly, murmuring damages any good that we would otherwise do. It spoils everything we do. It contaminates. It poisons. And that's why the scriptures are clear, do all things. Now, there's a whole lot of things you and I have to do in our lives, and every single one of them, look at this, every single one of them is to... Everything, one of these... All things that we're supposed to do is to be done without murmur and without disputing. Everything we do should be murmur-free. Everything. Taking out the garbage. Putting it on the street. It could be done without Doing the dishes is to be done without? Hello, anybody here? When your father gives you an instruction of something that needs to be done around the house, you do it without what? And if mom says this has to be done before noon, you do it without? All the time, every time. Scriptures are plain. Do all things without murmuring. When a child asks a mother for a favor, if she's going to do it, she should do it without. And if a father is asked by a child, Dad, play ball with me, and he's able to do that, he has the time to do it, makes the time. If he hasn't got it and he's going to do it, he should do it without. Because if you murmur, you contaminate your works. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere yet. This is like so straight up, but so unrecognized. And my fear is that we should pass over this and not respond to God's grace today to change this disposition. Because it infiltrates and it penetrates everything. People, one of the worst accusations that God had against the people of Israel at one section of time was they worshipped Him without joy. You're going to do something for God. I'll do it. No, you're not doing it. Forget it. You just ruined the job anyhow, right there. Because murmuring infiltrated the task. And it spoils the witness. It spoils the power. It spoils the energy that God wants a thanksgiver to experience all the time, every time. So we do everything with thanksgiving. We don't just do the nice things. We do everything with a spirit of thanksgiving about it. We're going to see that right next. But understand how damaging murmuring is. Do all things. Now watch this. The reason we do all things without murmuring, there's a number of them. Number one, you'll be blameless. That's a good thing. I want to stand before God blameless. How about you? I want to be there without blame. I mean, I want to go there confidently. I don't want to appear before the judgment seat of Christ in fear and trepidation. And sure, my eternal salvation is not at stake in this judgment of which we speak. But my future prosperity and my future usability is at stake. Rewards are at stake. My witness is at stake. I don't want to stand before God and be blamable for stuff. I want to get it all dealt with before I exit this place. Now watch this. Because we do it without murmuring, not only to be blameless, but look at this next word, to be harmless. Are you looking at the same scripture I am? That you might be harmless. When we do anything with grumbling and lacking a thanksgiving spirit, we are spreading harm in the doing. I guess it's why I got the lecture a whole bunch of times when I was a child. My dad said, if it's jobs worth doing, it's worth doing right. Now, the problem was I didn't understand what doing it right meant. So I had the second chapter added to it. And I had to be taught that I had to go down. You know, I lived in that country where they put a room down under the house called a cellar, basement, dirty, you know. Yeah, you all don't know about that. But, you know, we used to have coal furnace down there and a coal chute, and it was always dirty. But that's where they kept the potatoes, you know, kept them cool. My job, got home from church. Hey, we need some potatoes. So I had to go to the cellar, get the potatoes. I got stories about the cellar I could tell you. Some of them are not happy. And I know those are the ones you'd like to hear, right? I had to learn, do it right, and do it right meant do it with a joyful attitude all the time, every time. I couldn't grumble on the way down the stairs. If I was heard grumbling after the first and second admonition, there was an action plan my dad had, and he always followed through on it. And this is a good thing, because you something seeps into the whole household when anybody is allowed to be a murmurer. Do all things without murmuring or disputing, that you may be blameless and that you may be harmless, the sons of God. Look at this. Without rebuke. Look at this. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And watch this. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. What shows the difference between us? What makes us shine like a light in this crooked and perverse world on the job? It's because when the boss says do something, we do it without murmuring. No grumbling. Yes, sir. Happy to serve you. You know, I like to go to the Ritz once in a while, Carlton, for dinner. And I walk down there and all the employees, I have never met such a well-trained, pleasant employee. Now, I don't know if they're sincere as they sound, but they sure are convincing. And I ask a question, and they say, oh, pleasure to serve you. And they say it like they mean it. Well, I don't know. I'm not here to judge that. I'm just saying it's really good. You know, it's really good. And I thought, you know, this is what Christians are like. In the midst of a crooked and perverse world, we do stuff without murmuring and without disputing, that we may be blameless and harmless as sons of God in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights because we don't murmur. Will somebody say amen? Amen. All right. The alternative is to experience the power of being a thanksgiver. And I want to just give you a few tips about Thanksgiving, and then I'm going to show you the power. I want to get to the power of being a thanksgiver, because it is so powerful to be a thanksgiver instead of a murmur. Number one, a thanksgiver is a person who is in a lasting condition. Being a thanksgiver is not something you do once a day, twice a day, or periodically, depending on who hands you a nice birthday gift or whatever. It's a long-term thing. It's a disposition. Well, Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Like, okay, it's church time. You've put on your better duds and you've showed up at the church and the song service starts and it's time to say something thankful to the Lord. Or because we're to enter into his courts with what? With thanksgiving. Do you say anything to the Lord when you come in here, or do you come in blank? We ought to come in here with thanksgiving on our lips. And so, what do we do during the service? Well, we wait for the preacher or the song leader or something to pump us up a bit to get us to say thanks. And this is evidence that we are not thanksgivers. When it has to be synthetically inspired, we don't have a disposition of a thanksgiver at all. We just do the thanks thing once in a while. I mean, come on, it's just good manners if somebody says something nice to you to say thank you back. If they give you something to say, that's just good manners. That's got nothing to do with being a thanksgiver. No, see, you know, Jesus said, you know, you greet those who greet you. Big deal. Sinners do that. You thank those who do you a favor. Big deal. Every sinner does that. So, this being a thanksgiver is a perpetual disposition that we have. We celebrate it on Thanksgiving every year, but we need to comprehend it and live it all year round until it just flows out of us. We're just thanksgivers as opposed to murmurs. It's a long-term thing. Number two, the basis of being a thanksgiver is the character of God. The reason we are thanksgivers is because of the character of God. Unto thee, O Lord, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declares, because of what you are. We're going to see this. Oh, I hope you get this crystal clear just seconds from now. Of how being a thanksgiver is based on the character of God. Let's look at, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Here's the reason. For he is good. His mercy endures for how long? Forever. So we're always, God is always due thanks. 24/7. 365 and a quarter, or whatever it is. 70 years, or whatever that number should be. He is due. Give thanks unto the Lord because he's good. My goodness, you can never give enough thanks to God because his mercies are new every day. And they're everlasting. Oh, they're everlasting. So, somebody doesn't have to pump me up to become a thanksgiver because thanksgiving is based on the character and the nature of God who is worthy to hear the thanksgiving. All right, now watch. And it's a good thing to do. Remember this little song? We were going to sing it this morning. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Good thing to do. And you're going to see why in just a few moments. And being a thanksgiver is achieving one of the high purposes that we have, and that of giving praise. Save us, O Lord, our God, gathers from among the heathen. Here's why he gathered us from the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. When we become thanksgivers, we are already fulfilling one of the high purposes and intentions that God has in our lives. He does not want a generation of Christian murmurers. He does not want a church of murmurers. He wants a church of thanksgivers. Hallelujah. And we fulfill automatically just by being a thanksgiver. And then it's an indication of our right relationship with God. Surely those in right relationship with God, the Bible calls them the righteous, shall give thanks unto thy name. Surely. Anybody who's right with you will give thanks unto thy name. It's an indicator that we're in a right relationship with God. We're thanksgivers. And then, being a thanksgiver raises you above all the circumstances of life. Now, I'm going to switch camp here just for a moment. Then we're going to get into this, the power of being a thanksgiver. In everything, give thanks. Whoa. In everything, give thanks. In everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. All right. We learned a number of thanksgivings ago that the reason Paul could write here in Thessalonians, and again you'll see it in Ephesians, that we are to give thanks for all things is because thanksgivers know one secret that most people do not know. And here it is. Ready? Thanksgivers know that the reason they can give thanks for all things is that all things are working together for the good. Romans 8:28. How can God expect us to give thanks for all things? Because he's given us a promise that all things are working together for our good. It doesn't matter what they appear like. It doesn't matter what it tastes like. It doesn't matter what smell is attached to it. Everything is working together for our good. You can't lose for winning. Because God's making everything, even the stuff that doesn't look so great, work for your good. That's why I give thanks for all things, because everything's working for my good. That's the secret that thanksgivers know that most people don't. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. Now, interesting. Now watch, don't miss this. The next phrase is, quench not the Spirit. What will quench the Spirit is when we stop giving thanks for everything. That will quench the Spirit. Look at this next verse in Ephesians. Give thanks always. Look at this. Giving thanks always for all things. Because all things are working together for your good. Oh. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. And so, no matter what the circumstances, thanksgivers overcome the circumstances, what they look like mean little or nothing, because in the face of what doesn't look good, we're still thanksgivers. Because the problem I've got, and you probably have it, or will face it, is when things don't look so good, the temptation is to murmur. And guess what happens? Goes the wrong way. So no matter what it looks like, see, how can you stop a people who are thanksgivers for everything? Can't depress them. You can't discourage them. You can't stomp on them, because if you do, they'll stand up and say, bless you. You can badmouth them and they'll do what back? They'll bless you. We bless those that curse us. You see, God designed us to have an indomitable spirit. And this indomitable spirit requires certain ingredients, one of which is to be a thanksgiver all the time, every time, no matter what's coming down the track. Because God plus you, if you have a thanksgiving disposition and not a murmuring disposition, He can't cooperate with a murmurer. Your faith can't work through murmuring. Your faith works through a thanksgiver. It's what thanksgiving disposition makes your faith work. We'll see that in a couple minutes. Wow. Excuse me, I'm a little excited here. Whatever you do, when you speak in word or whether you do it in something, indeed, watch this now. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at this. Giving thanks at the same time. While you're doing it, while you're speaking, giving thanks is to accompany doing things in the name of the Lord. And then being a thanksgiver qualifies your prayers of request. Whoa. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Watch it now. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayers of request don't work if they come out of grumbling and murmuring. Oh God, I wish you'd do this. Make your requests known with thanksgiving. That makes your prayers of request functional. If things are tough and you got to go to God with a prayer of request for something, money, food, clothing, household, pay the bills, whatever it is, you can disannul your prayer by doing it out of a grumbling disposition. Are y'all looking at the scripture up here? This is really just that simple. Thank you. The blessing is on you. Amen. And the rest of you need to catch up to this. Amen. All right, now watch this. Because watch this. If you make your prayers and supplications of your needs known to God with thanksgiving, something else will happen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your heart and your mind through Christ. But if you try it without the thanksgiving, you haven't got the right mix. Got it? All right, now let's get to the point. One more. You don't have a number 8 in your notes, but stick one in somewhere. I have a number 8. This is a good one. Being a thanksgiver makes your food healthier. Now, look at what. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, boy, we've gotten the food stuff on Wednesday night. Dear me. I enjoyed it. Because I was preaching at me. There are those in the last days, though, they're going to tell us that we shouldn't eat meat. They command us to abstain from eating meat, and they're wrong, because the meat was God created to be received with thanksgiving. Eat meat with thanksgiving. That's how we're to eat our meat. I don't make this up. That's right out of the scriptures. Eat your meat with thanksgiving. Now watch this. For every creature of God is good, and none to be refused. Watch it now. If, this is the biggest little word in the English language. If, the hinge upon which the gates of heaven swing. If it be received with thanksgiving, then the meat is good to eat. And if you don't receive it with thanksgiving, it's not going to be good for you. Now, there's a whole lot of understanding that needs to come behind this, and I don't want to stick it in here now, because when we approach our meat with thanksgiving, a thankful spirit doesn't require much to be, help me with the pronunciation, satiated. Is that the right word? Satiated. A thanksgiver doesn't require a lot to be satiated, satisfied. But a grumbler, a murmurer, who eats his meat, is trying to extract from that something to make up for something he thinks he lacks. And he'll overdo it. Eating with thanksgiving has about it characteristics that enable us to be moderate and appropriate, because being a thanksgiver, you see, you can be satisfied with anything. And the craving to overindulge in meat is attached to murmurers and not to thanksgivers. All right, here we go. The power of being a thanksgiver. Let me look at my clock here. Okay. All right. All right, I'm going to use an illustration to help you see. We're going to contrast thanksgivers and murmurers. And I want you to see, as we progress through this, I want you to see how healthier, how more empowered thanksgivers are than murmurs. All right, now, to start, I want to use this illustration. I know it's been overused, especially by Jesse Jackson, and I'm sorry he used this illustration at all. But this is the thing about the glass. Anybody got, I should have brought a glass here. Some people see the glass as half full, and some see it as half empty. Now, I tell you that a thanksgiver differs from a murmurer in the way they see things, even though they look at the same facts. All right? Here's a glass half filled with water and half empty, and of course, you know which, it's the top half that's empty, right? And the thanksgiver looks at it and he responds positively. You got half a glass. The murmurer says it's only half a glass. He focuses on what's missing, and the thanksgiver focuses on what he's got. I can't overemphasize how radically this will affect long-term decision-making in these two different kinds of people. A thanksgiver sees the glass half full. That doesn't bother him a bit that the other half is empty. Not a bit, but you see, to the murmurer, he's concerned about the missing part and not the part he's got. Now, which of you parents, when you first started training your child to drink out of a glass or a cup without those little training things and, you know, straws and whatever else they do, and he's going to drink out of the glass, did you fill the glass to the brim? Not likely. Well, not a smart move, because he would never got the top half anyhow. He only got a couple of drops the first few times out of the bottom part of the glass. Just because the glass is only half full doesn't mean it isn't going to get more put in it. You see, the thanksgiver carries an optimism about him because he sees a half a glass full. But the murmurer, he's so focused on the half that's not there, he doesn't enjoy the half that is there. And he sets up an emotional frame of reference automatically on what's missing instead of what he's got. And that's why he's not a happy person. A murmurer is not a happy person because he's focused on the half that's missing instead of being a thanksgiver on the half he's got. All right, now watch how this starts to break down. So the thanksgiver can see the possibilities in anything, but the murmurer, he sees the impossible because he's focused on what's missing instead of what he's got. He can't make something. Now, of course, we move here from the glass of water illustration to perhaps talent, to perhaps skills, to perhaps business opportunity. And you only got half the business opportunity that you think you should. And if you worry about the half you didn't get, you see, the impossibilities mount up. And then the thanksgiver can see the good. He sees the half glass of water. Wow. Or milk from mom. Wow, I got it. And already, you see, Thanksgiving is a frame of reference. It's a predisposition that comes based on what we talked about. It's based on the character of God and knowing that He's worthy, that He's going to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. Doesn't matter what's missing. Doesn't matter what it looks like. We give thanks because we're thanksgivers. And automatically, there is an ability to capitalize on what you got instead of being distracted by what you haven't got. Everybody follow so far? All right, I'm trying to talk fast. I know I'm getting loud. I don't mean to yell at you, but yes, I do. I think it'll get in deeper if I give a little decibels to it. The thanksgiver is an optimist. He's an optimist. I mean, he's happy with his half glass full. The murmurer thinks he's missing something, and he's so focused and concentrating on that, he becomes pessimistic all the time about almost everything. A thanksgiver becomes an encourager. And a murmurer, he is an accuser, because he hasn't got what he thinks is his need met. The top half of the glass is not full. So he's going to point his finger at you because he's looking to play the blame game. She'll blame her husband. He'll blame his wife if he's a murmurer. He'll blame the children. They'll blame on and on. What would you blame? The reason I'm late for work is... Why is that? Because it goes with being a murmurer. You look out to see what's wrong or what's missing, and that's your emotional focus. And the problem with that is you don't get to enjoy very much because you don't think very much is enjoyable because something's always missing. Top half of the glass. so the Thanksgiver can bless people. The murmurer, you'll find cuss words in his mouth, her mouth. Never a Thanksgiver. Wouldn't even occur. Why? Because we give thanks for all things. Because everything's working together for a good. Man, we are just thanksgivers. We can give thanks at the drop of a hat to God, to others. Thanksgiver is always emotionally up. It's a positive person. And a grumbler, a murmurer, the opposite to a thanksgiver, is usually down. He's got himself down. He creates negative emotional baggage for himself and for everybody around him. His employer, because grumble, 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 complain, 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 murmur, murmur, murmur. And so, he's Thanksgiver is a genuine believer. I mean, they've already settled it. Everything's a murmur. You cannot build faith on murmuring. Faith is a positive quality. In fact, that was the problem with Israel. They started to murmur, and it ruined their faith. It is anti-God. It's the opposite to knowing that God is thankworthy and is to be praised. Now, a murmurer has a vain imagination. Go with me for a moment to Romans chapter 1 again. When they knew God, they worshipped Him not as God. Now watch the next phrase. Neither were they thankful. Next line. They became vain in their imaginations. It goes with not being thankful. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Now watch this. Because they keep on telling you how smart they are. It is not smart to be a murmurer. You contaminate the environment. You contaminate your own soul. You destroy your own faith. When they knew God, they wouldn't worship Him as God, and they weren't thankful, so they became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They become fools. I tell you, murmurers become fools. And the biggest fool in the world is the fool that fools himself. And the murmurer fools himself by thinking that reality is what he perceives it to be. Oh, you ought to be saying amen or ouch. He can no longer see correctly. Because he's not thankful, he becomes vain in his imagination. He has got it conjured up in his head, and he thinks he's right when he's wrong. Dead wrong. And then they start changing stuff around according to their deformed version of reality. Okay, let me take you back really quickly. Here's the glass of water, half full, half empty. They're both looking at the same facts. But they see the facts differently. And the murmurer sees the facts in such a distorted way as to destroy his own ability to think straight. When I look at this young lady. Hey, that was a good one, huh? The words were just coming out. It's a surprise of what a man will say when he's anointed. I could have one of two dispositions. You see, if I've got this thing straight and I'm a thanksgiver, and I got it with God, and I become a thanksgiver towards her, it colors what's going on. I mean, I see reality different than if I were a grumbler. If I were a murmurer, and I know you can't imagine her having any areas of life that would provoke anyone to murmur about anything whatsoever. But if I were a murmurer, if they didn't exist for me to murmur about, I'd make them up. Because murmurers do that. Murmurers conjure up because they have vain imaginations. And they think they're being so smart because they can pick this little lady apart and find something that they think is there, and it's not there at all, most likely. And if it were something there, it would be this big and not 10 feet tall or 500 feet tall. You understand how being either a thanksgiver or a murmurer predisposes the future vision a person has of everything? All right. That's why it looks impossible. Thanksgivers. The power of being a thanksgiver is you're filled with joy at everything. Oh, my mother. My wife reminds me of my mother several times almost every week. My mother was a thanksgiver. If you said something nice to my wife, you got Thanksgiving back. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you did something that was a 3, you'd still get a 10 back Thanksgiving. You know what? That's what she was. All her life, ever since I knew my mother, she was a thanksgiver. I knew some of the deep, dark things my mother had to go through at several periods in her life. But let me tell you something, that bright light never got put out till her dying day. In fact, my mother didn't want to eat in her latter years. We'd give her food, she would thank you. When you weren't looking, she would hide it. She was a thanksgiver. They are. You can't quench them. They're optimistic and joyful. Surely you can understand why a murmur is going to be this way. Because of the focus. He's still on the empty part of the glass. A thanksgiver has the power of being a constructive person. You can build from a thanksgiving disposition. You can do something with half the glass full. But you can't do much with a half that's empty. And so the murmurer becomes destructive. Can't see straight. Thanksgivers have self-acceptance. Bill Gothard's famous question. You were standing in front of the mirror and you had the power to change something about your appearance. What would you change? And everybody usually comes up with something. But when you have found genuine self-acceptance, you don't need to change anything. Have you ever said, God, thank you for the way you made me? You see, I don't have the skills a lot of people have. I mean, there are preachers I just covet their gift in the right way for the Lord. I mean, I've Leonard Hero is a hero of mine. I don't even know if he's still alive. I doubt he is. As a young man, as a preacher, I mean, that way he was my hero preacher. I mean, oratory. I mean, he could make the Bible. And I may not be a 10-talenter, but you know, if you're a 1-talenter, like I think I am, 1-talent person, I've seen 1-talenters do more than 5-talenters. Because I've seen 5-talenters grumble because they didn't have 10. And they don't use the 5 they got. But there's something about being, well, remember when a few weeks ago we taught on the value of being a small person? Hey, you're all right. You don't have to be something else. None of you. Just be yourself. And you can do that with a genuine, thank you, God, for the way you made me. I don't have to be taller. Wouldn't mind being thinner, working on that. But I can change that. But which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? That's a different deal. Thanksgivers find it really easy because they know that everything's working for their good. They give thanks for all things. The circumstances that are beyond their control, they don't worry about them. But the murmurer, who's focused on what's missing, is always trying to change the circumstances, thinking that that will help him. Thanksgiver has an accurate memory. A murmurer has a distorted memory. He doesn't remember good time, because to him it was never a good time. Because murmurers never have a good time. They're sad all the time, and they try to make as many people sad as they possibly can. They're accusers. They're condemners. They're sad people. And you might look back to your brother or sister, to a childhood thing that was so important, and you remember with such delight, they don't remember at all. Because they don't even remember straight, because they never ever saw it straight. They never really had joy in that family event. So they don't remember it that way, because it wasn't that way. They might have gone through the motions. Distorted memory. Well, John F. Kennedy's famous sentence. Some people look at the opportunities and say, why? And he said, I look at them and say, why not? This relates back to thanksgivers are positive as opposed to negative. And then thanksgivers has a vision for the future. Because he's got the half glass full. He's got half the talent. He's got half the energy already himself. But a grumbler has no ability to cast a vision for the future. It's doable. Because he is preoccupied with what cannot be done and what's missing. Thanksgiver finds it easy to be brave and courageous. But a murmurer is fearful, because the half-empty glass is a worry to him. Thanksgiver doesn't even see it. Thanksgivers are merciful. A murmurer is seldom a merciful person, because they don't even remember that God was merciful to them. Because they didn't get enough mercy, or they didn't get something's missing, and they're focused on what's missing instead of what's there. And then thanksgivers enjoy their possessions. And oh, I wish we had time to go through the scriptures on these. The murmurer does not enjoy what he's got. He's too busy murmuring, complaining about something. He does not enjoy what he's got, because he's thinking about what he doesn't have. If only I did this, could do that. If only I had this. If only the people around me were more helpful. And on it goes. And this leads to a really big difference. Thanksgivers are contented people. And murmurers are discontented. The reason, again, is the discontentment comes from thinking you're missing something. Its focus is on the negative and not the positive. A thanksgiver is more likely to be debt-free than a murmurer. Because, now watch this. Because the murmurer thinks something, the half the glass is empty, so I got to go get the money to fill up the top half of the glass. And they borrow money as a compensation. Now remember, a thanksgiver is a person who is content in whatever state they are, whatever condition they are. They're going to work with what they got. But a discontented, murmuring person is driven to compensate with what he doesn't have, to make up for what he doesn't have. So he or she borrows money and trying to compensate. So they end up in debt, or if not in debt, very tempted towards debt. And then thanksgivers are generous. And murmurers are usually stingy people because they're thinking something's missing all the time. So they're not going to give away what they got. They can't, you know, they'll do the minimum. But they're usually stingy. And then a thanksgiver has the presence of God, and a murmurer struggles to feel God. Struggles to feel the presence of God. And why is this? Because we are instructed in Psalm 100 that we sang, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Without the thanksgiving disposition, it's like you can't identify the presence of God. It's kind of like a prerequisite, this disposition of being thankful when you show up before the throne room. A child who is a thankful child can come to the Father in his thankful disposition. And it might be a request for something. He's going to get a hearing, at least. And even if his Father tells him no, it doesn't bother him because he's a thanksgiver anyhow. Not based on circumstances. The murmurer, on the other hand, comes to God and in the presence of God, and he's there for a motive other than just the pleasure of being with God, as evidenced by praise and worship and thanksgiving. He's there because he's driven by this murmur. And the relationship breaks down. In fact, he can't feel accepted. And the reason he can't feel accepted is the same thing that Israel had to go through. They murmured so much against God that they drove themselves away from God. And now you try to feel his presence and try to act religious and try. You understand how difficult that is. Thanksgivers are able to offer praise. Come to church. Come to his courts with thanksgiving. It's time to praise. You don't need anybody to crank them on, turn them on, pump them up. We're ready to praise. But grumbler has feelings that don't go along with praising God. Thanksgiver is able to rejoice. And that's, you understand this. The murmur is still soured on the half-empty part of the glass. This is a sad state of affairs, isn't it? The thanksgiver is able to worship. No problem giving worship to God because the thankful disposition lends itself to the worship of God. The murmurer finds it too great a sacrifice. So they, when they go to church, they just stand there. Do lip service, maybe. There's no enthusiasm, no fire. But a thanksgiver, it's an opportunity to that in which his heart's set because it's so full of gratefulness and thanksgiving. Effective in prayer. Did we cover Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? And everything by prayer with thanksgiving. Make your... Okay. And then lastly, thanksgiver is able to worship. Our witness, rather, has no problem whatsoever telling about the praises of God and how wonderful it is, because he's a thanksgiver. He's already contented, already excited about what God is. But the murmurer, still thinking something's missing, everything is half empty. Today is a good day. If it's not straight in your heart, this is a good day to get it straight. This is a good day to recognize which side of this you're on. And I believe with all my heart that as we celebrate this Thanksgiving, God wants to empower and energize and enthuse people with an indomitable spirit of optimism in these dark hours. We are not quenchable. This is the light. We shine in the dark, and the shining is our grateful disposition. Surely, this is what Thanksgiving is really about. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.